The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El-Khoury.
And I'm Neil Roger.
So tonight's show, we have one of our very valued, I'm going to call you experts from Raiden Solicitors who join us regularly throughout The Parents Show. And tonight we're going to speak specifically about our neurodiverse community. And we'll be talking to Charlotte Sudworth in just a few seconds.
Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us a bit about your role at Raiden Solicitors, please?
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm a legal director at Raiden's. I jointly manage the St. Albans team with Catherine Raiden, Lena Gardner and Che Meekins. We are, as a team, looking after clients who are going through divorce or relationship breakdown, dealing with the financial separation and any issues that arise relating to the arrangements for their children. We also draft nuptial agreements, cohabitation agreements, really the full spectrum of family law. We also work on injunctions and urgent applications where that's necessary to protect our clients. So yeah, very busy.
Absolutely. I'm getting tired just listening. So listen, we'd like to talk tonight about our neurodiverse community. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience of neurodiversity and parenting neurodiverse children at work?
Yeah, of course. So I mean, I do have some personal experience of neurodiversity, but I've worked also with a number of clients who have a neurodiversity. And I think it's critical that when working, well, we're working with any clients, really, it's so important that we understand them as a person. But with a neurodiversity, we need to understand how their brain is working differently to how ours might work. You know, I'm currently reading a really good book by Daniel Ahern, and he uses an analogy of biodiversity. So he says, you know, think about a cactus. A cactus will do brilliantly in the desert and have lovely flowers, etc. But if we put it in the garden in St. Albans, it won't do so well. And he uses that analogy for a person with neurodiversity. So, you know, whatever the neurodiversity might be, if you take that person and put them in the situation of dealing with a family law issue, they might not do so well. And it's up to us as their solicitors to make sure that we're creating an environment and working with them in a way that enables them to manage it, to feel relaxed and to think clearly.
So Charlotte, if you don't mind, what is your personal experience of neurodiversity that you mentioned there?
So I'm diagnosed as dyslexic. I would say it's very mild. Of course, I would say that. My family, my sister and my father are both dyslexic, more seriously than I am. And I think one of the reasons I'm so interested in this subject is my neurodiversity wasn't diagnosed until I was in my 20s and at work. So people say, well, hold on, didn't you do a law degree? Yeah, I did. And I struggled through all that reading and I managed to do the exams and the time limit that everybody else had, because actually a lot of neurodiverse people and children are doing that. They're just getting by and they find ways of coping. One of the ladies who we've got talking at our event, which I'll talk about in a sec, has set up Fantastic Alternative Brains, and she's on Instagram and she's brilliant. And one of her main drivers is to raise this awareness of the educational system and how it's not necessarily picking up on different needs and making sure that we're teaching children in the best way for those individual children.
So, Charlotte, you mentioned an event you have coming up. Can you tell us about it?
I would love to. So we've organised an event. It's on Friday, the 29th of September in the morning. We went for 9:30, hoping that would be a good time for people with drop-off commitments and such like. It's at Homeward Church Hall in St. Albans, and it's called Excelling with Neurodiversity. We have four speakers coming along. We've got Alice Carter, who works at the SOAC. She is coming to talk about the diagnosis and identifying people with autism spectrum disorder. and talk about the importance of doing that formal diagnosis process, which I think will apply across the board with regards to neurodiversities. We've got a lady called Debbie Wood coming from a charity called Advance, and she's going to be talking about the support that's available for parents and carers who are looking after people with a neurodiversity. We've got a CBT therapist called Amy Langshaw, who's based locally. She is coming to talk about her CBT practice. She's worked and works with a lot of neurodiverse people, and she specifically works with parents to help them learn how to support their children. And so she's going to be talking about that. And then the lady I mentioned, Georgina Rioch, she is going to come and talk about her own experience with dyslexia and supporting her own children through their education as neurodiverse children, and sort of giving us all a bit more insight into how neurodiversity can impact on the day-to-day for people. I think it'll be really interesting.
Sounds fantastic. And actually, we've interviewed Advance on the Parents Show before, and we know we're so lucky to have such a fantastic resource locally. We really are.
Yeah, I think that's right. To have these charities based in the town is just it's great, of great value to the community.
Absolutely. And actually, you mentioned dyslexia and your own dyslexia. Actually, October is, I think there's Dyslexia Awareness Week, so we'll be focusing a lot more on dyslexia over the coming weeks, just to shine a bit of a light on it.
Yeah, it can be so misunderstood. I did a little snippet for the firm on understanding neurodiversity, and said, people think, oh, dyslexic means bad at spelling. No, it's so much more than that. It's not really that at all. It's all just about the way the brain is churning information over and how you're processing it. And, mentioned to everyone that they should all be aware of great, very successful dyslexic people like Jo Malone, people who put their success down to the creative thinking that in part is due to their neurodiversity.
So Charlotte, you mentioned kind of how differently people view dyslexia and how sometimes people need different kinds of support. Do you find that neurodiverse people come to you with certain types of issues that as listeners get involved in? And also, I guess the second part of that question is, do you deal with those clients slightly differently or have to put more things in place?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? And I think everyone needs to be taken as an individual, of course. So I've worked, for example, with somebody who was on the autistic scale, and they told me that, and they wanted me to be aware of that and how that would be mean that their interactions with me might be slightly different to how I would have expected them. With that particular client, it meant that I spent more time on the phone and far less time on email. That was the preference for them. And I think the same would probably apply when working with someone with dyslexia. They don't want to receive an 11-page letter. That's not going to be helpful to them. But what might be really helpful is putting all of that information into a table. They can digest that more easily. And we're really lucky in our team because we've got really great paralegals and experienced personal assistants who can be there for the client at a without the hourly rate that their solicitor might incur for them. So we can hold their hand in that way without it meaning that the bill rises, which I think is really important.
That's fantastic to take that into account, because obviously time is everything with solicitors, but to have to accommodate neurodiversity in your timekeeping as well is really fantastic. So does neurodiversity ever require different types of legal support for families or children?
Yeah, it may well do. So I think the obvious one that comes to my mind is in relation to the child's support outside of just their parents or their carers. So they might need the additional support through school, or even to go to a school that specially caters to their needs. And, I know from experience with clients that can be a battle to obtain. And so then, you know, if that family is then facing family breakdown, it's really important to understand how difficult it was to obtain that additional support and to make sure that the family breakdown doesn't then impact on that child's support system. You know, if they were to move house and that was, you know, or across a county border, it could throw the whole thing into disarray and mean that the parent is back to square one, making applications with a new council, a new provider. And you really need to avoid that if at all possible.
And so you mentioned your own experience, Charlotte. So I guess professionally and also in your own experience, you know, what do you think are some of the challenges that parents have when parenting neurodiverse children?
Yeah, well, I'm a parent of very little children at the moment, so yet to have too much personal experience, I think, of the parenting side of things. But talking to others and from my own experience, I think it's picking it up sometimes and knowing what it is. There's a lot of talk, for example, around ADHD at the moment, and people have really strong views on that, sometimes with little background information. And you know, a diagnosis can be really helpful, even if actually not many action points are taken after that diagnosis is obtained, because certainly for myself, it was about understanding that my brain was working differently and taking control of that and using it to my advantage. And I think with ADHD, you know, there's another family solicitor who has been diagnosed with ADHD and speaks openly about it. And he said, you know, he uses it to his advantage. He knows when he's in hyper-focus mode and he's crazy productive and really gets into, you know, gets into the detail of the cases and can find things that other people might overlook. So I think it's about understanding. And for parents, if it isn't something that they've had personal experience of when it comes up in their children, I think it probably can be quite daunting and worrying. But there's, you know, there's so much great information available on the internet now. So just knowing where to look and getting the right support, and you know, speak to one of these brilliant experts who are coming to our event, or you know, and speak to your child's teacher, they're a great place to start.
I think that's absolutely right, because I've got a family member who was diagnosed quite late with neurodiversity. And I think it wasn't about labeling as such or kind of finding out, hey, what's wrong? It's just exactly as you say, to know then where can you get a bit of support? What does it mean? What does it look like? How do other people find it? So yeah, I thought that was interesting, because at first I wasn't too sure why they were so keen to get this definitive answer, you know, because it was very easy for me to. I was like, hey, you know, you're just you. But they really wanted to find out more about it, just so they could understand themselves a bit more and see what things they could put in place, and a bit like your colleague you refer to, kind of almost harness it to their own advantage.
Exactly. And then, you know, once you know where you fit in the puzzle of life, you find your people, don't you, and your tribe, and then you can get loads of tips. So for example, I learned the other day of a colleague who it's just really organized, makes it her business to be organized because she knows that she needs that. And so every day has a different handbag. So, you know, this is the work handbag. I know that's got what I need in it. This is the weekend handbag, you know, and that helps her. And it's whatever works. I was speaking to another lady who has just invested in some of those, what do you call them? The Apple
AirTags.
Thank you. And so she just AirTags stuff because she knows she's going to lose it. She knows she's going to put it in the wrong place. Just AirTag it, you know. And it's understanding yourself, isn't it? It's all part of that process.
Brilliant. And same has happened to me. You know, friends I know who've been diagnosed later in life, and they don't necessarily want medication, or they don't necessarily want treatment. They just want the reassurance that things that they've struggled with consistently throughout life has a reason, and from friends and family that I know as well, and just to know they're not nuts. I mean, that's really so often what they say to me. It's like, I just wanted to know that this is totally normal, and how to have kind of coping mechanisms like the air tags in place to move on, because I suppose if you get a diagnosis later in life,
you're doing okay. You've got where you needed to get. And there is no problem as such. It's just a matter of maybe having tweaks to manage your condition a bit better.
I agree. And I hope that those stories can be quite reassuring to parents in that, you know, we those of us diagnosed in later life got where we were going to go. We achieved that. The neurodiversity didn't stand in our way and we didn't even know about it. So if you know about it and you can make those tweaks, then you're going to go far.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of liberating. That's, I would say, the most common reaction I see from people I know who've been diagnosed later. They feel free and they feel that a piece of life's puzzle has been put in that helps them navigate it better.
Absolutely. And then when life throws its curveballs at you, family breakdown, for example, you've got the tools that you need to be able to manage that.
So Charlotte, can we come back to your event? Can you tell us a little bit about how can our listeners find out about it? Do they need to book tickets? How does it work?
So yes, if they could book tickets, that would be really helpful. We've got an Eventbrite page for it. They can find it on the Raidens social media page, or if you Google Excelling with Neurodiversity, Raidens Solicitors, it does come up. I think the tickets are £6 or £5. It's a minimal fee. And if we're hoping to make a small profit, which we'll then donate to Advance and the other speakers' chosen charities. But yeah, it's going to be a very relaxed event. We'll gather together, we'll have some teas and coffees available. And then each of the speakers will talk about their specific area of knowledge, and then we'll have some conversations, time for questions.
And just remind us again when it is, Charlotte. You mentioned earlier, but just in case anyone missed that.
Yeah, it's not long. It's on the 29th of September, which is Friday, and it's at 9:30 in the morning.
I think you've got a combination of great things going there. Fabulous speakers, coffee, school runs done.
Absolutely. I would say as well, somebody did get in touch and say they wouldn't be able to be there exactly on time. That doesn't matter. If you need to sneak in after we've started, please don't worry.
Brilliant. That sounds like a fantastic event. And I know parents who've been through Advance's workshops, parent support workshops, and have found them incredible. Really, really valuable.
Brilliant. It's so important to know where to look, isn't it? Because it's quite daunting. And I think for professionals, it's important to know where you can send people, who you can recommend. Because, it's not the GP. You need something different to that.
So, Charlotte, have you got any other bits of advice for parents listening who might have neurodiverse children in their family? I guess partly related to your own experience and also partly related to your job as well.
Well, I mean, it's difficult to sort of give general advice, actually, because one key thing to remember, I think, with neurodiversity is that it's such a sort of wide-ranging scale. And, you know, you can have people with neurodiversities who will go to university and do all of the things that parents might hope that their children are going to do. It might be that the neurodiversity is more severe, and actually the support that they need is to really be, you know, setting up a much tighter support system. They might need support in the home. They might need one-on-one support whilst they're at school. You know, so it's difficult to get generalized advice, but I think it is to look for that support, to go and get it, and to know as well as the parent that you need to look after yourself and support, you know, make sure that you've got your own support systems in place too, because being a parent is a really tough job. and being a parent to a neurodiverse child is a really tough job, and you need the right support system around you.
Fantastic, Charlotte. Thank you so much. Lots of valuable advice, and it's so lovely to hear how your law firm is approaching integrating sensitivity to neurodiversity on every level. It's really nice, and it's a great role model for the rest of us to bear in mind.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. It's been absolutely fantastic to meet you and to hear from you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.